Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
Right.
I am not a very politically correct competitor.
I didn't know that about you.
I want to step on their windpipe and turn them upside down and shake them until their wallet falls out, and then step on it.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glackow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die. So the boss of the corporation or the VP of sales comes out to introduce you to give a speech to a corporate audience where there's 250 salespeople at their annual event, and they're all kind of on pins and needles, or who the hell is this guy? 2 hours, what's this? Or 1 hour, what's this?
1 hour.
Yeah. I do two or three, but that's...
You're long-winded.
True. And they introduce you with your intro, and the audience applauds, you know, complimentarily, and then you start. How do you start?
I start by telling my story, mm-hmm. and I start with humor, of course, but basically trying to help people understand nobody ever decided to be a salesperson. You didn't. You didn't decide when you were like 7 years old, when I grew up, I want to be a sales rep. You know, you fall into it, and basically my story, I was very reluctant as a salesperson. I never wanted to do that. But my experience with salespeople was, you know, a sample size of one car dealer. So that was all I knew salespeople to be. Smarmy, pushy, manipulative, horrible, didn't care about me at all. And when
those
I
are
was,
the good qualities, by the way.
Exactly.
They smell like a cigarette.
At the time, yeah, still yeah. smoking in the room. But that was my experience. And then I ended up in LA playing music. And I had a job, and what I was told to do in my family business is if you don't have anything to do, call and see if you can help other people. So I just called people to see, do you need any help right now with staffing? And all I was doing was helping. And then I had a new manager come in. Not a good experience getting a new manager, right? They want to change things right out of the
gate. Of course.
He fired all three salespeople and he forced me into outside sales. And I resisted. First off, it started with I had to cut my hair. At the time, it's hard to believe this now, but at the time I had waist-length hair.
Wow.
And I was fronting a hair metal band. So when my manager came and said, I want you to cut your hair and go into full-time outside sales, I moved to LA to front a hair metal band and I had to make the argument, it's a hair metal band. So getting rid of the hair goes against the whole idea of a hair metal band. But I ended up going into outside sales. I was terrible for about 60 days because then I started trying to do things to people, not for people. So my motive had changed. He was a great manager. He helped me figure this out and I won the largest account on the western half of the United States about 4 months in.
Cool.
It was a $10 million deal, 5 years. And I would love to tell you I got the commission check for that, but I had a seizure and a brain surgery.
Oh, no.
And my manager made $450,000 commission off my deal. So that's how that ended. But I fell in love with sales.
Wait a minute. So let's go backwards for a second. You said you were doing things to people, not for people.
That's a brilliant self-analysis,
yeah.
By the way.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I needed you to have this meeting. I needed you to sign this contract. I needed you to give me all these things.
Right. I have a quota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It changed my stance with people. At first, all I was told was call and try to help people. So when I would call, I'd say, yeah, I'd love to come out and understand what you guys are doing. I might be able to help in some areas. And some people had problems and they would say, yeah, we're having this challenge. Can you help? And all I thought I was doing was solving problems for people, getting an outcome they couldn't get. And then once they put the title salesperson on me, I became a horrible salesperson. Mm. I'll tell you how bad. At Olsten Services, a $4 billion staffing company, we had an 84-page binder. There was no PowerPoint at this time. It's 1991. And I would walk in and sit down across from the client, and I would start on page one.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And page one started with, William Olsten started Olsten Staffing Services in World War II to deliver secretaries to help with the war effort. So literally in 1991, I started the conversation at 1940 because that was super relevant to people, right?
Yeah.
And they were really, really interested in this story. And I happened to have this manager with me on one call that I made. And I literally read – I'm reading. Mm-hmm. I'm on page seven or something like that. And the look on his face when I look out of the corner of my eye is – I'm going to stab you in both of your eyes if you keep talking. He's recognizing this is not working what I'm doing. But I plow through anyway. I plow through the whole presentation. And we're having that sales manager meeting where you're on your way to the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're talking it over. And he said, how do you think you did? And I said, I think I did very well. And he said, I think you should be brought up on charges for cruel and unusual punishment. That woman's in a coma and we're never going to recover her. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, this has nothing to do with us. She only cares about two or three things. And I said, well, what are those things? He goes, you'd have had to ask her to find that out.
Ooh.
And I realized at that point he had a different view of what we were supposed to be doing. And I went on calls and I watched him not say very many words at all. He would ask really good questions. And then he would say something like, that's interesting. Can you tell me more? And that would be the whole conversation. And we'd walk out with deal after deal after deal. So he helped me shift my focus from being, let us tell you about us, to let us understand you. And you know how easy that works.
Yeah. You can't do that anymore. You cannot go into somebody and say, tell me about your business. You should have already known that before you walked in the door.
I witnessed that. A true story. I witnessed a sales rep sit down with their prospective client and say, can you tell me what your company does?
Oh, no.
That call was over very quickly.
Oh, no.
Like you've heard of the internet, right? You could actually look them up.
The night before, instead of drinking and watching some The Bachelor on television.
Right.
Some people love The Bachelor.
Dorks. No, I want to see which asshole they pick.
So you just came out with a book. A new book.
A new book, a relatively new book.
Yeah. Well, when was it published?
It was published November of last year.
Well, it's still your newest book.
It's about to have a 6-month birthday.
There you go. There you go. And we have it right here. It's pretty cool. Eat Their Lunch, Winning Customers Away from Your Competition. I wanted to get the subtitle right. So tell us about it.
I've written three books so far. The first book is what I would call Competency Model. That book is the only sales guide you'll ever need. Unfortunate first title. precludes a second book. That book I wrote just because people leave out mindset, something that you write about all mm-hmm. the time mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. important the mindset is. They leave it out and they think it's all just skill set. So I wrote that book because there hasn't been a competency model written that way. The second book was the first, I think, modern closing book that's not a bunch of tie downs and Ben Franklin close and that stuff.
But angle close.
Yeah, the sharp angle. The thing about this book that I noticed is that there's this concept of blue ocean, and because of all the stuff coming out of Silicon Valley, everybody's trying to be a disruptor. But 98% of salespeople have a lot of competition, and they have to take clients away from a competitor in order to win and grow their business. But no one's addressed competition in a meaningful way in a long time. And there was a space for this book to say if you have to go take customers away from your competitors – you need to be competitive and you need to understand how to create compelling differentiation so somebody will move from their current supplier. And that hasn't been touched. So that's the reason I wrote the book, is because there was a big gap and I spent a lot of time in that area.
That's cool. And what are some of the ways you recommend salespeople actually differentiate themselves and allow themselves to pull the customer away from their competition?
Well, there has to be some reason, some compelling reason for the client to change. Mm-hmm. And this is what most people get wrong. In the beginning of the book, I described something I call level 4 value creation. So the 4 levels of value, I have a really good product and a good company. That's important. Second, really good experience. We're easy to do business with. We've got great service. Level 3, I can get you tangible results. And level 4 is I can get you strategic outcomes. And what most people do is they come in and say, let me tell you about my company. Let me tell you about our products. Let me tell you about the logos that we've won of companies that look like you. That's not a compelling reason to change. They're already buying something that looks like what you sell. So you have to come in from the other side and say, what do they really want? Mm-hmm. What do they really want? If you're in, let's say, marketing communications, the level 3 outcome that most people can get is, I need you to send these mail messages to prospective clients to get them to sign up for our credit card. But the mail, getting it there, that's a level 3. Anybody can do that. Level 4 is, can I get them to go out to your website and put their name in and actually sign up? The strategic outcome is client acquisition, not mail. But salespeople still think we can get the mail from point A to point B. That's not outcome they're paying for.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so if you come in at 4, now you have a compelling reason for people to change.
I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
He doesn't actually say you got to steal business from your competition, which is what you have to do.
Right.
I am not a very politically correct competitor.
I didn't know that about you.
I want to step on their windpipe and turn them upside down and shake them until their wallet falls out and then step on it. But I think that there is an advantage that, and you didn't mention this either, but someone will say, I'm happy with who I have. Or they will say, I'm not interested. Don't be blaming the customer. If somebody says you're not interested, it's because you're not interesting.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's how I look at it.
That's exactly right. I mean, when you come in and say, let me tell you about my company. We started in 1940. People are like, well, I don't care about that.
Right.
What are you talking to me about? They care about the few things that they really want. And if you do your research, and I don't know how you cannot do your research. I wrote this post the other night about, could you sell without your tech stack? Could you sell without PowerPoint? Could you sell without text messaging? Could you sell without all these things? Because if you can sell with a pen and a legal pad mm-hmm. and understand the strategic outcomes, all the other tech stack stuff is going to be amazing. We didn't have LinkedIn. There was no LinkedIn. You Correct. Actually had to work to find out about the company Correct. And the people. Mm-hmm. You had to go to networking events. You had to read the business journal.
Thomas Register.
It was work.
Horrible.
It was work. Now, if you don't do this, it's criminal negligence. Like Correct. You didn't go and get the – and guess who typed in the profile on LinkedIn? They did. So what do they want you to know about them? They told you. How could you not do that? Much, much easier now. But they care about the three or four things that they really want as strategic outcomes. That makes you interesting.
So what would you say to our diehards who are just trying to get that first meeting, but they don't even know how to break in because the customer doesn't even want to know about the differentiators because they're already happy with who they're working with?
Or they think they are.
Right.
That's what they now know. Correct.
It's not new know.
That's right. I'm going to tell you, you have to have something that says there's a compelling reason to change. And I use this talk track that a lot of people are using that we'll get into an argument about in just a minute. We've already had this argument, but we're going to keep having it because we like it. We like arguing.
Yeah. I think you guys have fun at that.
We do.
And the cool part is he actually thinks he's right.
So do you.
Yeah. No, I know I'm right.
And I know you're wrong.
Yeah. Boom.
That's what makes this fun. They're going to call, and they call a prospective client and say, Mr. Gittimer, I'd love to stop by and introduce myself and my company, learn a little bit about you. What do you look like? Is Thursday at 1 good or Friday at 11 be better?
Could you stop reading your script and talk to me like a fucking human being?
Yeah. Could you be a human being?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see.
Are you going to bring ideas or a pitch deck?
There's only a pitch deck, right? For most companies, it's a pitch deck. Instead of a pitch deck, you need an insight deck that says there's strategic outcomes and here's what's going to impact those over the next 18 to 24 months mm-hmm. or 36 months. So instead of that, I call and I say, this is Anthony Anarino. I'm with Gittimer Incorporated. I'm calling you today to ask you for a 20-minute executive briefing where I can share with you the three or four trends that we're following most closely and helping our clients answer questions around. Whether you ever do business with us or not, you are going to make some different decisions over the next 18 to 24 months in these areas. I'll leave you with the deck, and I promise you're going to challenge your management team to answer some of these questions with you because you will start making different decisions in the future. What do you look like Thursday for a 20-minute executive briefing? Now, I'm trying to do two things there. 20 minutes means that they have an out. If I suck, they have an out, right? You said 20 minutes, I give you 20 minutes. If you come in and you have the insights to say, this is what's going on in your world, this is what's going to affect your business, and you can talk about that. The one thing, and I know you know this, the thing that executives are afraid of is being surprised and somebody realizing they didn't know something that they should have known. So if you want to be a trusted advisor, you only need two things. You know what they are?
Yeah. You have to be trustworthy and you have to give good advice.
Right. Trust and advice. It's a pretty simple recipe, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't have the advice, if you can't come in and say, these are the things that you should be focused on, these are the things that you should be concerned with, you're not interesting. Okay, you work for a really good company. That's great. What you're trying to do as a sales rep, though, when you say, let me tell you about my company, let me tell you about our products, don't believe that I'm supposed to be the value creator here. I have no way to create value. All I do is bring you this pitch deck and tell you about the company and the product. No, you have to have the insight and the ideas. You have to tell me how I'm supposed to run my business better. So the trusted advisor part falls apart for people right now because they don't have the advice part. So you have to do the work. And how could you find out what trends are impacting, say, healthcare? You could Google it maybe and find out that there's hundreds of links that mm-hmm. say top 10 trends impacting mm-hmm. healthcare.
Diehards, I'm going to challenge Anthony just with a couple of words and it'll make it a lot smoother. Anthony, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. You probably don't know me from a sack of potatoes, but we're pretty adept in your industry. I'd like about 20 minutes of your time, and rather than go through a boring slide deck, I'm going to send you the slide deck today so you can take a look for yourself and see if I'm full of it or not. I'm going to be there, and in my 20 minutes, I'm going to give you three ideas, and all I ask is if you like them, you run with them. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Why would you put somebody through the fucking boring bullshit of a slide deck where you're going click, click, click? And not just give the guy the deck.
Well, no, you could give them the deck too. And in fact, I would tell you the follow-on for this is if you're trying to displace somebody who's had a relationship for 10 years, one, you're not going to try to do this in one call.
Correct.
You're going to give them tons of content because you now have the ability to do that. So let me tell you about the deck though. The deck has to have data. The deck has to explain why change. And the deck has to have your tough questions embedded in there. And the only reason people ask for the deck at the end is because they say, I got to share this with my team.
Mm-hmm.
And the deck has to be worthy of being shared. But there's nothing wrong with sending it in front saying, look, when we get there, I'll share with you our three best ideas for what to do right now. It's hard to say no to that. It's
a good message. If you want to embed something in there, embed three testimonials from people that have switched.
Yeah.
And then now the guy's wanting to know.
Yeah, I don't tend to do that in that one personally, only because I'm just trying to get the why change. Because if I get the why change and we get that conversation started, we're on our way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to do too much proof providing at the beginning.
I do.
Which is, yeah, and it's okay. There's different, I mean, different things. There's not one way to get to yes.
Yes, there is.
There's lots of
ways. Jeffrey thinks his way is the only way.
No, I know it.
It's the Gittimer way and it works.
Yeah.
But I'm having fun. Like I'll take chances in a sales call. If the CEO gets up and walks around, I go sit in his chair.
Even if it's just his desk chair, like not in a boardroom.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
I'm telling you. So and I had this conversation this morning about self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you can be playful, then people recognize this person's super confident. You know,
and he's fun to hang around with.
Yeah, right.
But Jeffrey, like you can do that, but a 22-year-old sales rep all of a sudden going into the CEO's desk chair may not be taken as well.
Well, he's already been taught the challenger sale, which is a bunch of fucking bullshit, that you walk in and you challenge – a 22-year-old challenges a 55-year-old who has been in the industry for 20 years. Mm. Right. On your ass, out of here.
I have a client who had a – 23, 24-year-old challenger come in and tell him he has a slide deck that Markety gave him and that this guy's doing everything wrong. And he said he listened patiently and then he said, I have a jet out back and I feel like I'm doing pretty well.
Exactly.
And he does have a jet.
And you got here in an Uber.
Yeah. Or you walked.
If a guy has a jet, it might be worth noting, right?
Yeah.
And he might be doing okay.
Yeah, let's go for a ride and figure out how we can do this for the next decade.
Exactly.
Is the pilot ready?
The pilot's always ready. It's his plane.
Boom. So why would you, in your innocence of youth, have the balls to come in?
Because you're not taught any better. Like at my former company, all of us were trained on that. And then I would go as a manager on meetings with my reps and they would just – ask questions and challenge for 5 minutes up front. And I had to end it. It was horrible. It was just horrible. But when when it comes pushed down from the top, like you don't know any better.
I did exactly the opposite. When I was young and starting out in sales, I would walk into a guy's office. He's 54 or 60 years old. And I would say something like, I understand what throughput means. How do you measure that? How is somebody like me supposed to think about this and what I'm supposed to be doing to helping you? And they would tell me, oh, these are the metrics that we're looking at and here's why. And I would do that four or five times. And then I go into another retail distribution center and say something like, are you guys using these metrics to track your throughput? And they would say, you know about this? Like, okay, cool, come in. You now are part of us because you understand what we're trying to do. So I just decided I'll be less dumb from day to day by having people who understand their business teach their business to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
then I know something to have a conversation. Mm-hmm.
If you're dumb enough to use the Benjamin Franklin close, or you know what the Benjamin Franklin close is, you can Google it yourself and find out, diehards. Use the Benjamin Franklin close on yourself.
Yeah.
Why should they buy? Why shouldn't they buy? If you're even dumber enough to use the challenger sale, why don't you try it on yourself? Challenge yourself to learn more about what they do. Challenge yourself to have some ideas when you walk in the door. And challenge yourself not to ever click a slide.
And if your company is pushing it on you, you should challenge them.
Exactly.
The interesting thing about the trusted advisor in the last part of this book, I talk about more of the intangibles. And one is you have to be a 52% subject matter expert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does that mean?
What do you mean by that?
You have to know of all the experts that you would bring in to have a conversation, you have to know 52% of everything that they would know, because you can't be the trusted advisor without the advice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part where salespeople, how do I do that?
Watching television,
you
right. Stop drinking
Ask
beer,
questions.
And you fucking
– And you get one of those Moleskine notebooks everybody carries around. You start writing down the questions that clients ask,
yep.
And you start writing down the answers from really smart people, and pretty soon you've got the answers. You can walk around and actually know things.
Here's a clue, diehards. Go to your present customers, sit down with them for a day, work there, and find out why they bought and how they value, and use that as your
– And how they use your solution, yeah.
Works every time.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, thank you for being on our show, Anthony. We're going to put your book, actually we'll put all three books in the show notes for people.
Awesome. Thank you.
And we'll put thesalesblog.com in there as well.
The sales blog.
Yeah, the sales blog.
Let's make sure we get that right.
Yeah.
I don't want to send you to
salesblog.com.
Right, obviously.
No.
Yeah. Obviously.
So it really is a pleasure. We would love to have you back. If more than three people in our diehard listening audience say, bring him back, we will bring him back.
Guys, all you need to do is write us a review on iTunes and mention that you loved the Anthony Iannarino episode.
You can even misspell his name. We'll know what it is. Because everyone
Anthony.
Does.
Huh? Just yeah. Anthony. You can get that part right.
Well, even in Philly, it's Anthony.
It is. Yeah, there's no H.
No.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe, rate, and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom. Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.